welcome to Two Modern Mystics with your co-hosts, Dawn Fleming and Linda Robach, who are here to offer you a deeper perspective of what is really going on and how you can disconnect from the chaos and plug into a higher consciousness.
Welcome to Two Modern Mystics. I am Dawn Fleming, and I appreciate you listening to our show. I'm so excited about our guest today, Dr. Gwen McGregor. I have known Gwen for over 20 years, and what I want to tell you is that she's an amazing intuitive reader and hypnotherapist, and what she will be doing today is sharing with us how we can develop our intuition to use in very practical ways. Before we move into our topic, I want to introduce my co-host, Linda Robach. Linda is my amazing mystic friend. She is of service to her family, community, and the world. Linda is a counselor, a Reiki master, and an alchemist. And it is my honor to do this show with her. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Dawn, and thank you so much. I love doing this show with you. I do. And so I'd like to take a moment just to honor you and let our listeners know, I almost said readers, let our listeners know how you shine the light for so many others and have done this over the years. And as you shine that light, it helps us gain clarity and understanding on our own journey to wholeness. So, Dawn Fleming, I am grateful for your presence in my life and in the world. And it's with that spirit that we came together and thought about inviting our guest today. And so I'm really thrilled and honored to introduce Dr. Gwen McGregor. And Gwen and I have been talking before we got on the show, and I just found out that she's been named 2016 Best Hypnotherapist in the D.C., Annapolis, and Baltimore area. So it's quite an honor coming from all those readers and places that have checked her off as being the best. So I want to tell a little bit about Gwen so we know who we have with us today. She's a nationally recognized intuitive life coach and metaphysical educator. She has clients in like 39 states and 7 countries. She's also served, and this just shows you the kind of service that Gwen is about. She served in all administrative positions for a national child advocacy nonprofit that was dedicated and is dedicated to stopping abuse and acts of violence against children. And her volunteer work has allowed her to travel throughout the U.S., giving and get this, life-saving presentations. So another facet of Gwen's life is that she has taught the master's and ascension studies for over 20 years across the nation. She's also a regular contributor on radio stations in Washington, D.C., in Baltimore and Annapolis, in Charleston, South Carolina also. She's appeared on Inside Edition, America's Most Wanted, and get that, we'll make the connection in a minute, and the New Age television series Strange Universe. So she's known for her clear reception, and she's often called to give assistance in locating missing children. And she's consulted with the Civil Defense Air and Rescue Missions, as well as FBI cold cases. So in her work as a medical intuitive, she consults with medical doctors also, acupuncturist and psychologist, to help with patient diagnosis. She's also been featured in the Washington Post for her angel seminars, and she is a monthly contributor to the well-known online metaphysical review, themetaarts.com, and the Muse Letter. So just kind of, that's part of what she's doing in the metaphysical field and all, but she has a BA in sociology from the University of Maryland, a doctorate in divinity from ULC in California, and a master hypnotherapist in transpersonal hypnotherapy from the organization NATH. So, Gwen, I'm so excited that you're with us today, and we are blessed. So Thank you, and welcome.
Thank you so much. What a treat to be with you two. It's a wonderful coming back together again. I feel like we're the three amigos here, psychic amigos.
Thank you. Great. I'm just so thrilled we could make this happen.
Yes.
So I think we should jump right in. And Glenn, okay. If you could tell us how you got into being an intuitive reader, and how did this gift develop, or were you born with this gift?
Well, I'm going to have to say I was born with it. They've been telling Gwen stories since I was a kid in my family, every Christmas and Easter dinner. You know, what did Gwen do this year? So, things have been coming out of my mouth for a long time. But, I had the luck as a young child to find a best friend who was extremely psychic, whose grandmother helped establish Lilydale. And I come by this with a lot of schooling and a lot of friendships. And, as I grew older, and as soon as I got my license, I would go down to every psychic I could find in D.C. To talk to them about how they received information. And then I went on to school, so I was learning and practicing probably very strongly from the time I was about 16. And, and there wasn't anything I wasn't interested in. And I'm so lucky because, my parents always talked about angels, and, I got to watch my parents pray and, help others. And so, I think a lot of instances, grandmother, I've got two grandmothers, and they all have that psychic sense. So I've been very lucky. I think I get it genetically, and I think I get it also from huge friendships and, the power of loving people. And plus, I grew up in the restaurant business. We're fifth-generation restaurant, and it just seems open to this kind of understanding. They're a little off the wall, and I met wonderful people that have helped me enormously.
Well, and that's really good that you had that family support that encouraged it. And didn't label it as being something wrong. That's
never
really
labeled
beautiful.
It. A lot of sleepwalkers, a lot of sleep talkers. And, I grew up listening to, grandma and my great-grandmother talk about angels. And, it just was normal for me, just absolutely normal. And the stories, I could tell you stories. And for me, I'm very lucky because it became kind of a natural transition into, joining organizations where there were other people like myself. And, because I grew up around police officers and again, a lot of people that were helping the community, I started being involved in searches for missing children and, and on my own just wanting to find out about palmistry. And I became a palmist, and then I became, then I went into, astrology, and then I went into tarot, and, just because, it's like you go from first grade to second grade to third grade, and I love it all. So it never gets old, if you know what I mean.
And your enthusiasm and passion is contagious. I love it. So will you speak to us about the ability or what you believe about the ability of anyone? Can anyone develop these intuitive skills? And I kind of know what you're going to say, but would you speak to that? And what I mean is for not for them to necessarily be readers, but for them to be able to use it in their own everyday life.
Absolutely. I believe very strongly that, that higher self, that spiritual soul is something that if you're not born with it, highly developed, can be developed. I think, it's like if you stick around a lot of very educated, intelligent people, you start becoming that way. I think the spirit of God is that way too. I think, in my father's house, there are many rooms. And I think once you start venturing into those rooms within yourself, and you see other people doing them, I think you grow. I think you expand, and it is contagious. You get around people that speak so genuinely from their heart and from their soul, and I think you want to know more. But once again, we've in the last 35 years, we've been so lucky to be in a renaissance. It's so clearly a renaissance period. Between the return of the angels to the return of a female pope, if you will. The spirit of the female god around such a man. And, there's so many signs for us to follow. Then we have, demigods like Wayne Dyer. We've got Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, you know, it just, it's just a wonderful time to be alive and to be in such good company. But, you know, along with that, you know, we've got teachers, we have people writing and, you know, learning to be one in groups again, you know, which is what it's like in heaven. I believe that, you know, implicitly is so important. And, you know, accepting that we can have these classes and that we can go to them regularly and we can gather without fear is a wonderful thing.
Well, and what you're saying is it is wonderful because there is so much out there right now to help people. Because I remember as a child having gifts and there was no one to talk to because I grew up in a very fundamentalist home. And there was no information in books and there was no workshops and of course there was no internet. So right now there is just such an abundance of information out there if people want to begin to develop their skills. So that takes me to the next one. So if someone's looking on how to develop their intuition, can you tell us a few things that, you know, a person can do to develop their intuition?
Well, you know, when I start my classes, one of the first books I send people to is Living in the Light, Shakti Gawain. The reason being is, you know, creative visualization, believing that your thoughts and your intentions, you know, can manifest, I think becomes extremely important. I think you have to believe in you and the Godhead, whatever that means for you inside. I think you have to be one with that understanding. And I think that there are writers that do this very well. Again, Wayne Dyer comes to mind, Deepak Chopra's Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. These are all, you know, books that we go to. But we also have exercises, you know, where we just get very quiet. And again, I don't take on students individually much anymore, only because, you know, I think Americans especially have trouble with group work. You know, they excel at doing a lot of their private homework, but boy, when they have to come together, it's difficult. And, you know, so I try to do this within groups. So one of my favorite exercises to enhance the intuitive process is I'll make everybody shut their eyes. And, you know, and I'm like, this isn't a test, everything's going to be fine, and I'll fire a question like, does my dad have blue eyes? And, you know, I've prepped them like, you know, listen quickly, whatever comes up quickly. And it's so funny because you'll see some of them take time and some of them not. And, you know, I make them discuss how did it feel, what did your answer feel like. So it's very simple, and we do four or five of those. Then I always ask my students in this class to bring a new deck of cards with them. And, you know, we discard the cards that you don't need to play with. So we've got the, you know, 52 cards. I ask them to shuffle the cards. And then I ask them to look through the deck and come up with, a king, a queen that's a red, a king that's a black, an ace that's a red, and two face cards, black and red. And then I ask them to shuffle them, put them face down in front of them. And you know, this is where my Reiki background comes in, but I'll say, put your hand over those cards. Tell me where the queen is. So, you know, they're going in, and many of them, you know, have trained for Reiki and you too. So they'll come in and they'll kind of try to feel the difference. You know, is there an energy difference? Is there a temperature difference? And so they'll work with that for a little while. Then I put them back to shuffling the cards, putting three face down cards and then seven rows of seven. And this is something you can do watching TV, you know, when you're bored, when you're waiting for the doctor, and you put the, you turn one card over, let's say a third card in the third row, and it's a black two, you know, a two of clubs. And I say to them, go find another two. And they feel, they listen, they start getting familiar with feeling where the location may be. They get familiar with hearing it, seeing it in their mind's eye. So, you know, I'm trying to put them through the paces of understanding we receive in so many different ways. And I love how the people will say to me, oh, no, I knew that was a queen. Or some will say, it was hot, so I knew it was a red card, and it looked chaotic, so I knew it was the queen. I love the interaction with the people because then you get to see how other people are receiving, and I think it can make you speak up. I think you don't feel so odd, you know, and I think a lot of people do at first. So that's how I start.
Excellent.
That's a great practice, and I think you're just so full of good ideas and practices to help all of us. I have another question, though, because how can, let's just say, I tell the difference between my ego giving me the information or my what I think and intuitive guidance? How do people know the difference?
Well, you know, because I've done this for so long, you know, I kind of short-circuit. I look at a student and go, that's ego. You're talking through your ego. And they look affronted at me, you know, and then I'm like, how did you know? How did you know I didn't know what to answer? And I'm like, because you paused. A lot of what we receive from God is it's subtle, it's quick, and, you know, it slides in under your voice. You know, it's like without voice, it doesn't need a voice. So, you know, I like everybody, I think once you've been doing this for a while, you just know. But as soon as someone pauses 2 or 3 seconds, me, anyone, you're probably into your ego. You're probably heading towards, you know, going with a tried and true, which is through your brain and your ego. Timing's part of it. I think when you have emotions like fear or I'm afraid of this answer or emotion is attached to it, I think immediately you know you're in your ego or your mind state. I mean, it's different, you know, under different circumstances. But when I'm training in the beginning, I just like to give everybody a heads up about auras. You know, we'll talk about auras. I'll have someone, I'll set people back into interactive partnerships, and I'll say, think of a season. And I want you in your mind to be yelling the name of the season, but visualizing it at the same time. And, you know, ask their partner to, you know, can you hear that? Are you hearing it? So, you know, I like interaction. I think it's fun.
Oh, great answers. Thank you. And I do think that makes it clear to me.
And when I teach a medical intuition class, you know, I really kind of say what you just said, that mm-hmm. information that's coming in is very subtle, and it's just tuning in to receive that. It's not mm-hmm. going to be like yelling at you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very subtle, and just listen, be still to receive it. And I know
mm-hmm.
that's kind of hard because life is always kind of like yelling at us with the radio and the TV.
Absolutely.
And just noise, just a lot of noise pollution. So it's, you know, as people are learning how to do that intuition, they're learning how to just be quiet and to feel that subtleties. And you talked about feeling it in the body as well. And so
mm-hmm.
it's like a whole new skill on tuning in and listening and receiving. So how can we use our intuition, like in our personal relationships? What are some inner signals that we should look for or be aware of when we're receiving intuition on this topic?
Well, depending on the relationship you might have with a person, you know, whether it's your sister or a husband or a child, you know, I still think, you know, when you're reacting too quickly. You know, I know when I hear something quickly, but, you know, you start receiving words and sentences. You know, after a while, it's not just a feeling. You're getting words, or you get a picture that reminds you, we did this 15 years ago, and it didn't turn out well, so I think they're warning me to take my time before I answer. I think after a while, you know, we're gently warned or we're given, you know, symbolic pictures or thoughts. And I think once you start listening to the symbolism and start playing with it, literally build your psychic alphabet and then your sentence structures together, I think that can be helpful. But, you know, for me, a lot of it has to do with listening. And you know when you're coming from your heart. You know when your mouth's going too fast, and you know when you're coming from your heart. And so, you know, it's hard, you know, without giving instances. But, you know, my only suggestion think if you're ready to jump down somebody's throat, you know, it's coming from your ego, and it's, you know, not coming from your heart. Plus, I think you feel so much more warm. Am I off? Okay.
Hello?
So, sorry, we're here.
Okay.
Sorry.
So you were talking about coming from the heart.
Yes.
And
it's just
to know that.
Mm-hmm. It's just a different feeling. It's just, you know, you never feel stressed. You don't feel insecure. And it's just a different kind of warmth. But, you know, again, without knowing who we're speaking to, you know, I have parents that come all the time talking about their teenagers. And, you know, I listen to them talk, and even when they're speaking to me about an instance that's occurred, they're screaming at me. They don't even realize they're screaming at me. And finally, you know, I just lower my voice. If I can't lower my body, I lower my voice until they have to stop and look at me. And then, you know, I say the words back to them. And I think being heard, genuinely being heard from the heart, I think you have to go in gently. I think you have to go in sweetly. And the big thing that I have found to be so important, you have to be innocent. You have to come in, you know, with an innocence of spirit. I think that people will hear you then.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not like the expert or gonna tell or that type of thing.
Well,
oh,
and I just want to say, I was listening to a video by this young guy. His name is Benito Mazuro. I don't know if I said it right. He's from Denmark. And he was talking about that if you're making a decision or you're saying something and you don't feel good, then you're not taking the right you're not making the right choice. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Wow, that simplifies the whole thing.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
it really is that simple. You know, I say that to people all the time. It's that simple. They'll say to me, you know, I can't decide on this job or this job. And I'm like, good, then don't. And they're like, well, what? You know, I'm like, it's that simple. You know, your gut brought you here. I'm going to present myself as a mirror to you. But you need to listen to that gut more and more, because that gut feeling is exactly your Godhead. You know, it's you're infusing your wisdom of God with your wisdom of having lived on life as a human, lived it here on the earth as a human. So, you know, I love when they say that. You know, I just couldn't get past it. I had to come talk to you. And I'm like, you know, you don't have to come talk to me all the time, but I'll tell you, you know, you need a mirror. You need somebody who can either assist you with a mirror, or you need to meditate and let that be your mirror.
Right. Yes, and you know, when I heard him say those words, if it doesn't feel good, then it's wrong. I was thinking of all those times when I said yes, and I didn't want to say yes, and I
mm-hmm.
knew I shouldn't
mm-hmm.
have said yes. So I
mm-hmm.
wasn't even listening to my intuition. So
it's amazing, isn't it?
It is really amazing. It's
that
simple.
We don't take time to pause before reacting.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we get the first word or whatever,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't have to be blurted out right then.
No, it doesn't. You know,
and
it does not.
Yeah, let it kind of settle. So, Gwen, are there any other pieces of advice
that you
could offer us on developing those skills?
It's so funny. One of the things I just want to say, one of the things that, you know, God's been working with me on is intention and utilizing intention. You know, you say something because you know it's right. You follow it up with action because it's the right thing to do. And, like, you know, 25 minutes later, your ego's going, oh, I can't believe you're doing this. It's like, you know, we don't have time to do this, you know, or they're not going to understand why we offered. And you know your ego stepped in. You know, your Godhead made the right decision initially. You're doing the right thing. And then all that second guessing and that fear that comes in, that's all ego. It's all brain. And you need to know that. You know, people say to me all the time, I don't know why I offered to babysit her child. You know, I'm not very good at babysitting. And I'm like, because it was the right thing to do. Now, we need to hear what's right and then not second-guess it and do that round-robin thinking anymore. We do way too much of that in this society.
Mm, that's true. I think
that is the truth. That is the truth. And like you said, listening to that first thing we get and
mm-hmm.
I guess, and going for it and keeping out that ego, you know, it really sets us up for failure and wanting, you know, brings in fear. And
mm-hmm.
then we we move away from our intention that we're setting, that we just set when we bring all that fear in, and it steers us away from all that wonderfulness that we could have in our lives.
It's almost like, you know, you set up this beautiful crystal and then all of a sudden you create it clouding over, and, you know, you don't need to. But, you know, my other suggestion, you know, when people are beginning to learn is, you know, what you said earlier about just getting quieter. You know, we have to do that. You know, one of my classic favorites is, you know, every time I go to the doctor, I'm a pretty big woman, and you know, they see you coming and they're thinking, oh, blood pressure, oh, diabetes, which I have neither. But, you know, so I sit in the I use every opportunity that I go to the doctor, and I sit in the waiting room and I drop my blood pressure, you know, and I drop it a lot. So, you know, and I do this because I enjoy it too, but I love it because, you know, they take my blood pressure and they have to take it again because they're like, this doesn't make sense. You know, she's overweight. I know it's going to be, you know, 190 over 90. And so you can use it in creative ways and have a lot of fun with it. You can stop, you know, the butterflies. That's what I do before I do any kind of presentations. I have butterflies. And I just visualize that there's this, you know, this beautiful white, shimmering, starry, cool light moving through my body. And it calms me down. So, you know, knowing that spirit of God that you are can do these things, and playing with them whenever you can. It's like I was caught on 95. It was a parking lot 2 weeks ago, and I just kept visualizing angels like herding through the cars. You know, come on, people, let's move. And, you know, and one, it's fun, okay? You're not sitting there stressed. And two, you get to see some wonderful things. People were looking over in cars and smiling at me, and it's like, trust me, they weren't feeling that 10 minutes before.
Right. Yeah. I think my husband was stuck in that same traffic
coming from Richmond.
So, Dawn?
So, yes, Gwen, I mean, I've been in some of your classes. I've had readings from you. So I just want you to tell our listeners, where can they go to find out more about your services and classes? Because you have so much information from so many different areas to share that I think many of our listeners would benefit from all of your life skills that you've brought together in these classes and your services.
And I want to thank you both, first of all, for your kind words and giving me this opportunity. But I also, you know, I just, you know, it's not hard for me because I love this. I love all of it. I'm practicing right now out of Ridgely Retreat Holistic Spa in Annapolis, Maryland. And, you know, I do the hypnosis. I do the intuitive readings. I do past life regression, palm readings, tarot, tea leaf readings. I love it all, you know. And I do by phone readings, and I also do in person. So, you know, you feel free to call Ridgely Retreat at 443-433-0462, and they'll get you in on the schedule. I ask people to call with questions. This reading's about you. Whatever I do is about you. So I want to make sure that I've answered whatever you come in with and more. You know, I'm going to be doing a lot more than that. But I think it's important that you know it's about you and that you're interactive with it.
And would Excellent. You give that phone number again?
Yes, ma'am. It's 443-433-0462. It's Ridgely Retreat Holistic Spa in Annapolis, Maryland.
And then you do have a website as well. So do you want to share that with our listeners?
It's drgwengmcgregor.com. And, you know, I have examples of some readings, my schedules on it. Several of the articles that I wrote for Meta Arts is there. You know, just some information about what I do and, you know, just intuitive-wise, some wonderful ideas that might be helpful for you. And it's drgwengmacgregor.com, McGregor with an M-A-C.
Excellent.
Okay, great. I'm writing it down to make sure I have it right. So that really leads us to announcements before we close. I'm just going to make a brief announcement about ACT, a community of transformation in the Annapolis, Maryland area. And we have a program coming up on May 1st with Bob Sima and Aramaic scholar Dale Allen Hoffman. It's going to be a phenomenal afternoon from 2 to 4, but information can be found on that and on the Kirtan that's coming up the third week in Sunday in May in the afternoon. And that website is actannapolis.org. So check it out. And Dawn, if you'll take us home, give us your announcements.
Okay. So I have an advanced Reiki training class on May 22nd in Scottsdale, a Karuna Reiki 1 class in Scottsdale on June 5th, and on 18 and 19 June, I'm teaching how to create a successful holistic health practice in the Sedona area. If you'd like to receive an inspirational newsletter that comes out once a quarter, you can go to my website at energytransformations.org to sign up, and you get a free chakra meditation for signing up for the newsletter. So I just want to say, Gwen, it is our honor to have you share your wisdom and your insight with us today and on how to connect with our natural gift of intuition. Just want to thank you so much for all the work you're doing in waking people up to the light and the life that is truly within them. So thank you so much, Gwen, for coming and sharing with us today.
It's my honor indeed. Thank you so much, too. It's so nice to hear your voice and voices and to connect again. You know, we're always connected, you know, as light bearers. It's our job to come together and then, you know, go into that forest perilous and do our work. So, you know, again, when you leave the round table a master, you have to go do the work in the world, and you all are doing it beautifully.
Thank you. Thank you. So, as we close the show today, just know that there's so much more to truly know. It is all within you, not outside of you. Seek within your answers, and your life will be filled with an amazing amount of joy and peace. Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste.